I'd like to add my welcome to everyone this morning. We're so thankful that we have the privilege and the opportunity and the freedoms in this country to assemble to worship God. Let us never take that for granted. Let's never just make it a ho-hum, totally dumb. We just come on Sunday night. Let's really appreciate the opportunity that we have. It's not this way in every country. There's many that are suffering. There are many that are hindered from worshiping. And we're appreciative and thankful to God that we can come together to worship Him, to hear His Word, and to encourage one another. Thought I'd start out with a picture sent to me from Billyat. That's Billyatton Island. That's a couple days ago. He made it there safely. You notice he has a smile on his face, so that's good. Alan, I've had many conversations, of course, being able to go over there with him. He has a passion. He has a love for the brethren. He's been going there for over 20 years. He knows them very personable. And right now, as most people know, there's a lot of attack on the Lord's church, like there was in the 50s and 60s here with institutionalism. And the men that we support, and as well as Alan, are doing what they can to get the word out day after day. The teaching is focused on pushing down and going against the fiery darts of the devil, institutionalism that's going on over there. And we're so thankful that Alan, through a lot of sacrificing, and they're sacrificing from the congregation here as well, the flights over there are brutal. I was talking to Jeannie, the layovers, the just to get there is one thing, and I think he's real happy once he gets there. So to introduce our study this morning, I apologize for the background on this. You never know until you get here what it's going to look like, but hopefully you can hear what's being said as well. Okay, so to introduce our study, I'd like to look at Numbers chapter 32, verses 20 through 23. And Moses said unto them, if you will do this thing, if you will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, until he have driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward you shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if you do not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Now, it's not my intentions. You can go back and read Numbers chapter 32 and understand the full context of what is being said. They're being told to do something. And then they're in verse 23, it says, but if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. And the focus this morning is this statement right here, that the Holy Spirit has told us through the scriptures, and be sure your sin will find you out. Now, if you look in the scriptures, this is the only time that this exact wording of this is even in the scriptures. Now, we're going to see from other verses and other examples that this isn't some new thing that, you know, that the Israelites didn't know. This is something that's not new to us. But what can we learn from a statement, and be sure your sin will find you out? When we look at this statement, first of all, we look at the very statement, your sins. You know, we tend to focus on others, that when, and this is common for most people, especially when you're looking at behavior. Do you know that we can always find somebody that is worse than us? We can find somebody that isn't even attending today. We can find somebody that's dishonest on their taxes. That's not my goal. My goal this morning is your sins. If we would focus as much on our sins as maybe we do others when we see something that's wrong, then we'd be a whole lot better off, because the world is full of sin. The world is full of things that is wrong. But when we stand before God, that's not going to matter. You're not going to say, now, God, you know, I didn't have as many as the world over here. I had a few. I didn't have as. There's no balancing thing. There's no ours or less. But the other part of this is that your sins will find you out. What does that mean? Will find you out. Who will find it out? Well, let's look. Now, we can go all the way back, and some of the examples we're going to talk about this morning, we talked about just briefly in class. Matter of fact, there was about 3 or 4 points in Brian's class this morning. I thought, well, we're going to say the same thing because we're studying the same scriptures. But that's great. Brian did an excellent job with that. And to know about God, this is something you're going to know about if you really care to know. So we go all the way back to Adam and Eve in Genesis 3, verses 8 and 10. We're not going to go through the whole story, but let's just focus on this ideal about your sins will find you out. And what we're going to look at the examples here for a little bit is other people in the scriptures that maybe didn't fully understand what that meant because of their actions. So we all know that God gave Adam and Eve some very simple commandments, some simple laws. Man has always been under some laws, and we can see from the very beginning, he told them what to do and not to do. And we know they failed. So, what do you think their attitude was? Well, in verse 8 they said, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, which is a very interesting statement. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. So first of all, they hid themselves. Did they really think they could hide themselves from? But they did. They did it. What about today? We'll talk about that later. And the Lord God called unto them and said to them, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now, we could go on and read, you know, God says, well, how did you know this? Of course, God often, and we're even going to see today, he'll ask questions that he knows, just like parents do with their own children, right? But the focus is, and I hid myself. Well, right here, God knew. And if you don't remember anything else in this sermon, this is going to be on almost every chart that I have, and that is God knew and God always knows. God knew and God always knows. God knew and God always knew with Adam and Eve. And of course, we know the rest of the story. We know the consequences of their actions. They couldn't hide from God. They were ashamed and they were afraid. Now, when we are ashamed and we are afraid is a good thing. That at least we have enough conscience to know that what we've done is wrong. Because a lot of people don't become afraid and ashamed ever. They just do what they want to do. So at least they had somewhat of a conscience, but they thought that they could hide from God. And in their case, their sins found them out. Because hiding didn't just make it go away. Did God say, well, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know your thought. No, God knows. And God always knows. Well, we go right on to the next part. Look at, and that's Cain and Abel. I always think about parenting. And I always, sometimes with young people, I use the example of Cain and Abel. Here's Adam and Eve. Now, they weren't a good example, but Cain and Abel weren't born yet either. We see that a little bit later. But this is kind of a side note, but you ever think about how there was a good son and a bad son? As parents, we should look at even the example of Cain and Abel. That who knows what they taught them? We don't know. We do know that God instructed them. But this just shows that, is every one of our kids going to turn out? Are they? We don't know. The free moral agency. Did God rebuke Adam and Eve and say, you had some kids here. Now you didn't do anything, and look how they. We don't know that. We don't know that. But anyway, that's kind of a side note. But it's interesting that even very from the beginning, you had two children instructed to do the same thing, sacrifice to God, and one did and one didn't. For what it's worth, In verses 8 and 9 of Genesis 4, we see another example. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Now, we know prior to this that Cain had already had a discussion with God, and God talked to him about his sacrifice. Then Cain goes on and talks to his brother, and of course, his brother did that which was right, and Cain rose up against his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I don't know. Now did he know? Yeah, he knew. Am I my brother's keeper? Now this is another question that God asked that he knew the answer. Because remember, God knew and God always knows. And with the case of Cain and Abel, did Cain think, you know, if I just say, am I my brother's keeper, that's kind of just kind of let things go. And, you know, I don't know. He's somewhere around here. That's another example of the behavior of men through deception. Sometimes you ask people a straight question, and this is the kind of answer you get. Am I my brother's keeper? Sometimes there's sin in people's life. And the simple things, the word speaks to us. And we come out with the saying, am I my brother's keeper? Right then and there, with Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel, their sins found them out. And in this time, God was dealing directly with them, but they had the audacity, they had the mindset. Here they're dealing directly with God. And they think they can hide from God. They think that they can put aside what they've done. And God is saying, no, just like we've seen in Numbers, your sin will find you out. Well, what's some other examples? Many we can think of. I didn't try to list all of them. It's David. Now, I want to spend a little bit of time on David for multiple reasons. We know initially that David was, obviously the way he acted, he didn't think his sin was going to find him out because of what he did. We're going to look at the scriptures. We're going to see exactly his action. But there's something else very valuable in the lesson of David. And of course, we know David, King David, and what he did when he was younger. And he did a lot of good things, right? But that didn't wash away what he's getting ready to do. And the other thing is about David, and we often should mention this, and that is sin took him farther and deeper and more consequences than he probably even began to think of. And that can happen in our life. Because when we start belittling sin and we don't take care of sins, your sins are going to find you out and your sins can build on top of each other. This can happen in our own life. This often happens even in people's life. I have a coworker right now at work and just trying to help him. It's not even a work-related thing. It's just he's got so many personal problems in his life. And he's coming to me, and I'm trying to help him out where I can, of course. But let me tell you something. There is some people's life that is so messed up because they ignored this sin. They ignored this. They ignored this. And it kept building. And they have 10 years of that. They'll never recover. They can. But it's just, it's a complete mess. Now, here's David, chosen of God. And if you think it can't happen to you, you're extremely wrong. Because it happened to David. It's happened to the apostles. It's happened to people that seen Jesus. And we can take heed or lest we'll fall, because our sins will find us out. And we can get deeper into sin, and it'll cost us more, and it'll ruin us more in our life than we'll ever even begin to imagine. So let's just quickly read through the facts. But as we read these, I want you to think about how David didn't think about his sin finding him out and the consequences of his action that built one upon the other. It says, we might also remember the story of David and his sin with Bathsheba. Now this is important. I think we can see this. Though he was not looking for an opportunity to sin, right? So David's lust for Bathsheba led him to send and inquire about her after he, by chance, saw her bathing from his rooftop. We see this in 2 Samuel 11, verses 2 and 3. Now, from the very outset, Was it a sin that he seen her? It doesn't say it was a sin to see her. He's seen her. That should have been the end of it. He should have nipped it in the bud. Should have said, wait a minute here. That's a bad deal. Get away from this roof so I don't have to see this anymore. But no, he let that cultivate in his life and his actions at that given time. Even after learning she was already married, so there's another one, okay? He had her brought to him, and he committed the act of sexual immorality with her and caused her to conceive a child. So now we're at three things. The lust, first of all, bringing her. I mean, you could probably count two or three different things. The act of sexual immorality, and also conceiving. There's consequences to sin. This was just the beginning of Dave's sinning in regard to Bathsheba. David tried to cover up. Now here we go. The sin by recalling her husband. So he's getting deeper. He's going to recall her husband, Uriah, from the field in hopes he'd be intimate with Bathsheba and make it appear he was its father. So how many sins are we counting? You guys keep track. But Uriah did not, out of respect for the soldiers, steal in the field. Now, David had this plan. I got it all planned out. And something didn't go right in his plan, did it? So instead of just stopping there and saying, this is not right, I'm not doing anything more, because he didn't know what Uriah was going to do. And a lot of times we have all these plans and our plans get messed up, don't they? We think, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And then this is going to go here and this is going to work here. Now take heed lest you fall. All right, so now David's got more thinking to do. David then got Uriah drunk with the same intentions of having him be with his wife. But Uriah still did not go to his house. So David's probably like, this is not going as I planned. Then David then arranged to have Uriah sent to the battlefront. And I believe he carried the letter of his own demise and placed in the heat of battle while others withdrew, sending him to certain death. And it was done, and sadly, it was successful in the sense of David's will. David's will was accomplished, and Uriah was killed. We see that in verse 14 through 17. David must have thought that his misdeed was now behind him and unknown to anyone but him. He might have thought that, but his sin's going to find him out, because he was wrong. He was wrong. Well, let's keep going. What did the Lord do? What did God do? Well, the Lord sent the prophet Nathan to David. Nathan told David, who was once a shepherd, the story of a poor man who had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished, and grew it up together with him, and it grew up together with him and with his children. Now, just think about that. Just think about that. Anyway. And a rich man who had exceedingly many flocks and herds. 2 Samuel 12, 1 through 3. It happened that once, now he's telling the story. It happened that once when the rich man had a visitor, the rich man refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him, but he took the man's poor lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So whether this is a true story or not, he's telling David this story. Here, this, he had this ewe lamb, grew up with his children, but he had a visitor, and so he didn't take his own sheep. He took the little pet sheep over here of the family or whatever. Well, what did David say? Well, David, this angered David to the point he told Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore full fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Verses 5 and 6. Now, one of the profound statements in the scriptures, it was to this Nathan replied, you are the man. And then revealed to David that the Lord knew all he had done, sin found him out, and the sin with Bathsheba, taking the wife of Uriah, while he had already had multiple wives and had been blessed with abundance, and foretold of the troubles that would come on his house because of his sin. Again, God knew, and God always knows. That's the lesson. If we don't remember anything else, remember that. So, what a horrible situation. And I'm sure we can read later about David repenting, but lamenting and living out his days because of this. And probably looks back and thinks, you know what? The minute I saw Bathsheba, that was the end of it. That was the end of it. I'm turning away. And again, sin took on its own life, if you will, and it was over and over and over and over and over. And David realized that he wasn't going to hide from God. David eventually realized that all of these things he did was wrong. And let us, what can we learn from this? Again, we can learn our sins are going to find us out. But especially in this story, that if you don't nip sin in the bud, if you don't nip attitudes in the bud, if you don't nip our anger in the bud, if you don't nip jealousy in the bud, these things will build over time. And you'll look back and think, how did I get where I'm at now? It's real, really easy to happen. But the devil will rationalize with us and say, don't worry about that. So we're going to look at that a little bit later. Well, a few other instances, some we're familiar with. Acts 5:1-4, now a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. They had a right to, didn't they? At that point, his wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thy own? And after it was sold, was it not thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not only lied unto men, but unto God. God knew, and God always knows. No matter what they thought they were going to do, and they kept back part, and they made it look like they gave the whole thing, that was deception. That was lying. And of course, we look at this example, and you can read on in Acts chapter 5, that great fear became on the whole church when they seen what had happened, that they both died as a consequence of their sin. So not only did their sin find them out, but at least in this example, it took their life. And that's something that it just jumps out about this. Another case where they thought, hey, I can take and do this. But their sin found them out. Their sin took hold of them in that given situation. Well, there's many other examples, and I'm not going to spend my whole time on examples. But what about Aaron? You know, we threw this gold and all this precious into the fire, and out came this idol. Well, can you imagine him saying those words? And of course, Moses is like, I don't know. Moses had his own thoughts. But Aaron, your sin was going to find you out. You're not going to go do something like that. Nobody's going to know about it. We talked this morning about Jonah. You know, Jonah was given clear instructions, and he gets in that boat. And what's always amazing to me is he goes underneath and sleeps. He's like, all things are good. I'm hiding from God. He told me to do this. I'm not doing it. Of course, we know the whole story about the sea becomes rough, and the people on the ship are like, what's happened? And they finally figure it out, and they draw straws and all that. And of course, they throw Jonah overboard, and it calms the whole situation. But do you think Jonah, when he was in that great fish, was thinking, how did I get in here? My sins have found me out. God is punishing me. God is trying me to see whether I'm going to obey or disobey. And we all know the rest of that story. How about Achan? How about him hiding, getting things and thinking, well, this is okay. I know God said this over here. I get it. But you know, this is some stuff. This is good stuff here. I know we were told not to take anything, but this is good stuff over here that I'm going to keep. His sins found him out. What happened? What happened, Achan? They all took the stuff that he took. They took him and it was obliterated from the earth. He died. What about the apostles? Well, one that we always talk about in this case maybe is Peter. So think about a chosen one of Jesus Christ, his apostle. We know the story of Peter. But Peter, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, and Jesus told him, "You're going to deny me three times." So it isn't like he didn't know it. But he did it. And he was speaking, and they're saying, "Hey, that's one of Jesus' followers. I don't know the man. I don't know the man." But we know the consequences to that, and we know what happens. We know the sin found him out, and we know that Peter went away weeping bitterly because of what he did, because his sins found him out. Let me read this. "It should be abundantly clear by this point that there is no hiding our sins from God." Just the examples in the scriptures. In fact, men are warned throughout the scriptures of this self-deceiving lying that God does not see. The psalmist wrote of a time when he envied the wicked, and we may become like this too, and did whatever they wanted and seemed to be suffering no ill consequences, but rather prospered, and who would say to themselves and to anyone who might dare chastise them, "How does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High?" Psalm 73, verse 11. But even he realized, this is talking about the psalmist, the foolishness of that boast and the foolishness of his own envy, later declaring that he envied them, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end." Again, God knew, God saw, and God always knows. There's no hiding from him. The psalmist would also write of those who abounded in their evil and would then boast, "The Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand." Psalms 94, 3 through 7. He would answer their boast, writing, now listen to this, "Who planted the ear? Shall he not hear? Who formed the eye? Shall he not see? And the Lord knows the thoughts of man." Verses 8 through 11. So think about this. The God that created the ear, he can't hear. The God that created the eyes, he cannot see. Not hardly. Yes, God saw and understood. God always knows. Israel too would warn the wicked who would indulge with the false notion that God would not know of their evil deeds. To them he would write, "Woe to those who seek deep to hide their counsel from the far from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, they say. Who sees us and who knows us?" Isaiah 29:15. He would point out that their foolishness asking, "Shall the things made say of him who made it, 'He did not make me'? Or shall the things formed say of him who formed it, 'He has no understanding'?" Verse 16. Indeed, God understood. God always knows. I think we've established that. I think most of us know that. But are we practicing it? Or do we live our life and think, well, our sins won't find us out? Well, we'll see at the end, there'll be a rude awakening someday. And whenever you're talking about sin, especially to the world, we're talking about right and wrong, doing that which is right. And maybe these aren't the most popular lessons, but it's very important for us to understand these principles in the scriptures, because it's going to be very important, especially in the day of judgment. So I've spoke now for almost 30 minutes. Let's make some application, because I feel like preaching without application, I mean, you probably have already made your own application, but let me help you a little bit here as well. Well, you know, when you're driving down the road, now, if there's an exception, you tell me. But if I'm driving down the road and I see this guy radar, what's the first thing I'm going to do? I'm going to look and see what speed I'm going. Now, is that a good thing? Yeah, that's a good thing. This represents God's word each and every day of our life. He's got the radar on us. Now, some people might say, oh, it's so silly. They're out here radaring, can't even get anywhere, got all the traffic bogged down. No. That's the standard right there. He's just doing his job. Don't get upset with him. But think about that. Think about the radar. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't see a lot of this going on. I don't have to get into my think-sos on that. When I go to work about anywhere from 5:30 till 6 o'clock in the morning, if they were out radar, and they'd get some tickets lined up pretty good. And people are just, it's great. I don't know, they're crazy all the time, but get up at 5:30 in the morning, Vance can tell us. They know they're not out there. Now, I never did understand rushing to work. I mean, we're all excited to get to work. But, you know, people are late and they might rush home. But anyway, that's a whole, but think about this. Now, there's just a disregard, if you will, for law anyway. So when they see this, they just don't like it. But how about just the police? Talk to Vance, who served as a sheriff for 20 plus years, how our country it's just getting worse. Now, don't talk to me. Don't talk to the sheriff, okay, that can tell you how we have no respect for the police anymore. It's just getting worse. And a lot of these police officers are retiring. Vance retired, probably the same reason. They're retiring. They don't want to get into police office. It's not a respectful job. They tell you to do something, and you're like, who are you to tell me? Well, a lot of this is, you know, Rob, I'm just going to drive how I want to drive. Nobody's going to know. And you know what? Most of the time, you're probably right. You could probably speed. You could probably make turns without blinkers. You could all kind of whatever violation you want to come up with. Nobody's probably going to know, really. But your sins will find you out. And some of you might say, oh, Rob, come on. We're talking a few miles over. You know, a few miles over starts out, and then we're 10 miles over. Then we're 15 miles over. And then we don't care. And we no regard for law. And then when we see guys like this, we're like, they're just evil. It's just a mindset. Just a mindset. You know what's worked good for me? And this will go in well with some of the rest of the slides I have. And that is, Jesus is sitting next to me. Now, I hope that is blasphemy, but I'm just thinking, you just do whatever you got to do. Of course, Diane's sitting next to me, too, and she'll tell me, you're going over. I mean, ever since I got this new car, it's just like, this thing just like goes. I mean, but that's no excuse. I can't stand in judgment and say, it's just a fast car. Like, Brian has a fast car. I could never own a car like that. I couldn't have it. But anyway, think about what we were talking about in class, that God sees everything, He hears everything, He knows everything, and He's sitting next to you in that car. Maybe when you're getting angry at other people, and people can make you angry. Maybe when you're not doing what the law says. I've heard Christians say, and I've had to talk to some about, well, I'm not wearing a seatbelt. I am not wearing a seatbelt. I said, it's a law to wear a seatbelt. I'm not wearing it. It says, well, you do what you want, but you need to be wearing a seatbelt. So we can't just take a list of laws and go, I'll do that one, I'll do that one, I'll do that. No. As long as it doesn't contradict God's word. But what about just in our everyday life? Again, with this ideal about your sins will find you out. Think about God sitting next to you when you're reading a book. Now, we don't know what she's reading. It could be appropriate or not, but God knows. Think about God not only sitting next to you in your car when you're driving, but God sitting next to you when you're reading that book. He's there. He's there. Maybe you think, well, this isn't appropriate. This is going to mess my mind up. I don't want to read this kind of thing. How about this? How about watching TV? Now, TV is just, it's off the rails. And I used to say sports is the only clean thing on TV, but I can't say that either. But is it really worth it? Exchanging our soul for a TV program? And now we're going to rationalize, well, Rob, you can't watch anything anymore. So it's just you got to just kind of take it. It's gotten worse. Really? Is that what the scriptures say? We can stand before God and say, well, it was what was on. And I just shut it off. shut it off. It's not getting any better. It is not getting any better. It just keeps going down. A day when they wouldn't say a curse word on TV, you can go home this afternoon and turn your TV on and just flip around a little bit. You're going to find some curse word in this, the nudity, the violence, all that stuff. But we're not talking about anybody else. We're talking about us and our actions. And your sins will find you out. Now, you know, most of the time, 99.9 in a 24-hour day, 365 days a year, what you're thinking, I have no idea. You might be thinking of something right now that way off. I don't know. God knows. He knows what you're thinking. Now, the only way sometimes we know what other people think is when they say something. We've all said things we shouldn't have said. But even our thoughts, we're going to see a verse in a little bit. Your sins will find you out. Now, that's humbling. And as I studied this, I thought, boy, that words and numbers is ringing out more and more and more to me. And don't think, well, Rob, you know, pretty good guy, pretty clean. Okay. You got to do a self-examination, because if there's not things, if you think, well, I can have bad thoughts, stuns, I don't say anything. Really? Where's that found in scriptures? Are you hiding? You're not going to hide from God at all. And what you say and do and think, God knows. He knows. Now, Brian pointed out something that I probably was going to point out at the end of the sermon, but I'm going to say it now while I'm thinking about it. And that is, it's good that God knows what we're thinking. That's a checks and balance, if you will, that we think and do those things. But the positive side of that is that He knows our aches, our pains, our sufferings. He knows those. And He wants us to go to Him in prayer. He wants us to rely on Him to take those away. Those aren't sins. Finding out, but if we're hiding and if we think, well, I can kind of just do what I want because most people aren't going to know, and maybe someday I'll clean all that up. No, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. You got to clean it up right now. Well, Rob, why are you making a big deal about this? You know, you've been preaching now for 35 minutes and... Well, you know what's wrong with it? This right up here, your sins will find you out. If your sins haven't found you out, haven't been found out in this life, they will be. But Isaiah 59:2, do you really want to be separated from God in this life or in the life to come? Have you really thought about what that means? Because when you're separated from Him, where are you going to be? Think about that, eternal punishment. Oh, Rob, you're making such a big deal out of your sins will find you out. We all sin and things, you know, things happen, and maybe we're not trying to hide things. Maybe things are just happening too fast, and I don't know. No, there's no excuses on Judgment Day that things were going too fast for me. Your sins will find you out, and there's this great chasm between us and God when our sins. Now, if we ask God to forgive and repent, then we close this. We're standing right there with God. He's with us. But that's how serious sin is. It will find you out. Well, what about you? What about your own life? Make your own application. And you have to be in a constant state of awareness of what sin is. Now, it takes a lot of discipline. Like even in our worship. I don't know if you've thought about this. But the more you do it, the better you can become. It is very easy to be distracted in a worship service. It is. But God, if you will, requires our A game. God requires us to be singly focused on what we're doing. When somebody's leading singing and we're singing, could you tell me what those songs are we sing? Could you even remotely tell me, Vance said them all, the titles of those songs? Now, I'm getting older. I probably have a hard time too. That's not my point. My point is that we make it a priority in our worship service, because some of us have been worshiping God publicly for over 50 years. And it can become very monotonous. But we can't stand before God and just say, it just became monotonous week after week after week, singing these songs, listening to prayers, taking the Lord's Supper, listening to preaching, giving. It just became stale. God's not going to accept that. But these are applications that we can make. Each and every one of us. Don't let our worship, don't let our life just become on autopilot. Just we got to be very cognizant of our relationship with God and what we say and what we do. And you know, when you focus like that, like sometimes I have to really put myself in a trance when I'm singing, that's all I'm focusing on. And you know what? I can focus on one thing. I can focus on one thing. And I've tried to discipline myself, and sorry for using myself as an example, but I can focus on one thing at a time. I can focus on singing. I can focus on listening to the prayer. I can focus on the Lord's Supper. I can focus on giving. I can focus on preaching. And I don't want anything else distracting me from that. Because God deserves our best, not only here, but we're singularly focused through our life. And when we do that, there's not going to be any sins that are going to find you out, because you know them. You know them. You'll know what they are. You study God's word, you understand. Now, I know there's prayers in the scriptures that, please, Father, forgive me for it. Do I know every sin? I hope I do, but there's probably going to be some I don't know. Now, somebody says, well, go read the scriptures. Father, forgive me for these. There's going to be things, but you know what? I might not know it now, but I might know it a month from now. But that wasn't right. And repent of that. But that's not my point this morning. I'm talking about a lifetime. Well, let's close on this. The reality is, God always knows. Now, if that doesn't humble you, if it doesn't scare you a little bit, if you will, what I've been saying for the last 40 minutes ain't going to mean nothing to you. It's not going to mean nothing to you. Because when we do things that are wrong, and you know, they've talked to criminals. I tried to find some stuff on the internet, but criminals aren't really quoted too much on the internet. But a lot of criminals say the crime they're going to do is that, and you can ask Vance this, but I'm sure there's a moment in time that they think, I'm going to do this, and I have a really good high chance of getting away with it. That nobody's going to know. I'm going to break into this house, I'm going to steal this, I'm going to do that. I think they're banking on that. Now, the sad thing is, at least in Colorado, is they think worst case, and I'm going to murder somebody. But in Colorado, I'm probably not going to get the death penalty, because we haven't put somebody to death since 1965 in Colorado. And people in Colorado, the criminals, they're thinking, well, the worst thing that's going to happen is I'm going to be on death row. Now, I don't know if criminals think like that. Probably not. But the Bible says when there's no consequences, when justice isn't brought out rapidly, what happens? People think their sin's not going to find them out. They think that God doesn't know and nobody else knows, and there's been a lot of things that's happened over time. All right, let's keep going. While it may not be revealed here on earth while we live or while everything still exists, hear me now, it will most certainly be revealed in the final judgment. The wise writer reminds us, God will bring some works, a few works, no. God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. There's no hiding from God. Every sin will find us out. Ecclesiastes 12:14. Paul also reminds us that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Every one of these verses we know. And further reminds it is then the darkness. It is then the Lord will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of hearts. Yes, even our motives, scriptures say this, are known to God. As I close, again, God always knows. And God can help us to free sin from our life. No matter what it is, we can be free. We got to have the attitude. We got to have the right behavior in order for Him to forgive us of those things and help us. Well, what about you this morning? Examine for yourself. And life is a daily examination. And say, am I doing things that if somebody else knew about it, well, if Jesus was sitting right there, I wouldn't do it. Brethren, Jesus is sitting right there. Jesus is among us now. Jesus knows what you're thinking right now. And when we put that into our minds, that He's all-knowing, He's everywhere, this is who we're serving. I appreciate Brian's series. I'm looking forward to knowing more about God and who He is. But He's also there, as Brian pointed out, to help us. Think back this week. How many times in your prayer did you tell God, please help me? Help me. Dude, what was our prayers to God? We think, life is difficult. There's only one person that can truly help us, and that's God. Get through the difficulties of this life. Now, we might have brethren, we might have our spouse, but individually, we have to do it ourselves. What should we be thinking of? And as I close, I'm going to look at one of my favorite verses in the scriptures. And that is Philippians 4, and start in verse 7. Think about this, because we need to displace our thoughts with that which is wrong. And we got to displace it with something. So we're going to displace it with the true word of God. And whenever we have difficult, what am I supposed to be thinking about? Get your Bibles out and turn to Philippians chapter 4. In verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Think about that. The peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus, through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, think about this. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, do what? Think on these things, and those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's not stand in judgment and hope that the secret things of this life nobody knew about. And that may be true. That may be true. There may be a lot of things you've done in this life that nobody knew about. Don't wait till judgment. Let's turn to Psalm 325. Now, 325 is one of my favorite invitation songs, and especially as it applies today. I'm just going to read the first verse. I am resolved no longer to linger. Do we believe that? Charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. Life is so short that our main focus in this life is to be pleasing to God. Our main focus in this life is not to have hidden sins, to know everything that we possibly can out front, and we're not hiding anything, and we're going to take accountability for it so that we can live a life that's pleasing to God and someday can say to us, well done, thy good and faithful servant. It's something we all want to hear. There's nothing in this life that we exchange to be able to hear those words. If you're subject in any way to the invitation, whether you need the prayers of the congregation or whatever your need may be, we ask that you come now as we stand and sing.